Banana scooter, right.
Yeah.
You have to learn to boil, make pasta without looking at the banana scooter.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Or, whoa, what's that on your banana scooter?
Yeah, or the disco noodle.
What's that, disco noodle?
Well, the disco noodle can be, you know, could be a labradoodle or a
labradoodle, yeah. Or
type of mood. Like, I mean, a kind of disco.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little disco. I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Feeling disco.
Okay. That's really good. Thanks, man. Banana scooter computer. Man, I love this banana scooter computer on my Adele. No, I love this Jenny McCarthy image on my Adele's banana scooter computer. So Adele would be Cockney rhyming slang for Adele. Adele computer. Caller Igabuchi.
Hello, my dear friend.
Oh, my God. Yeah, hey, who's this?
Fonnington Downripple.
Oh, Fonnington Downripple. How are you doing, my lord?
It's a fine day in Yorkshire.
Yeah. Okay, so you must know all about, you must have a whole glossary of Cockney rhyming slang, or, yes, in your head. So give me some.
Why, you are a Rhode Island Red, true?
Yes, I am. I'm from the biggest little, as they call it.
Quite a state. Are you familiar with the band's Drop Dead?
Yes, I am.
What genre of music do they play?
Grindcore.
Power violence.
Or power violence.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
And when you dance to power violence, what type of dance do you do?
The silence, violence, silence. I don't know, you tell me, Southington cream-colored.
A mosh pit slam.
Mosh pit slam, that's the slang. Mosh pit slam.
Yes, no. No, indeed.
Oh, my God. Okay, just tell me.
When sour silence booms from the PA, posh grit sham shall grow apace.
What does that mean?
Whence the power violence emanates from the public address system.
Yes.
A mosh pit slam will grow to a tremendous rotating circle.
Yes, I do like that. Yes, that is very good. See, that's exactly the kind of clear sentence that I'm looking for that will confuse the cops. And maybe I'll put, you know what? Maybe in this novel about Victorian England, I should maybe try to introduce some of these Cockneys to Drop Dead.
That would not go
because,
too well, I do.
No, I think it would. They just weren't exposed to it back then. There was a hole, a power violence-shaped hole in their life that they didn't know was there.
I believe they are ACAB.
Oh, well, that's good. As are many Cockneys.
Indeed, you do.
Yes. All right, thank you, Jimmington Large Nipples. All right, Jesus. See, there you go. I like that. I like Cockney rhyming slang that references Drop Dead. Lightning bolt. Arabon radar. Seder. Oh, I went to Seder. And I went to my Arabon radar. Seder. Something like that. Hey, Micah. How are you? Do you know any Cockney rhyming slang? Do you want any new Cockney rhyming slang? Or do you have a piece of Cockney rhyming slang that you always liked?
No.
Oh, God. You know what? Micah and For Micah would be working very well. Oh, man. I have such a problem with this For Micah table. Micah.
What?
Micah For Micah. They rhyme. That's the So the Cockney rhyming slang for your name is For Micah. What's the confusion? I feel like I need to pull up the Wikipedia thing for Cockney rhyming slang. As usual, right at the end of the show, full board. Call it Igabuchi.
Hey, Bucci, it's Bandit.
Oh, hey, Bandit, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Quick, what's some Cockney ramming slang? A Bucci?
There isn't any Leslie Hope in the bathroom.
Colloquialism.
Say it again?
There isn't any Leslie Hope in the bathroom.
Okay, what does that mean, Leslie Hope?
Soap.
Soap. Oh, my God. Oh, I love that sweet-smelling Irish Leslie.
Alternatively, you could use Bob Hope.
For soap, right?
Yeah.
Or I saw the soap perform, and man, that guy belongs. He should have retired years ago.
Yeah.
All right, goodbye. Caller Igabuchi. Last call, real fast.
Hey, it's...
Hey, who's this?
Hey, it's Brian from Hobo.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So what is... what's your Cockney rhyming slang? Abuchi rhyming colloquialisms.
For Bucci. Winter, I'm buying bunions.
Say it again?
For winter?
Yeah.
I'm buying bunions.
Buying bunions. Is that chopping onions or something? Buying...
Frying onions.
Oh, frying onions. What does that mean?
I'm actually literally frying onions right now.
Okay, goodbye. Next show is all going to be about, we're going to get more into Cockney rhyming slang. Even deeper. It's going to go really well. All right, up next is the music of Mind Control with Formica. Thanks for listening. Next week, there's more of this. You've been listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City and Rockland County, 91.9 FM and online all the time at WFMU.org. Till next week, who listens to Bucci? You Ducci.
My name.
set in the west.
I wonder,
does every raindrop have a home up in the sky? Seems like everyone's got to get their heart broke
once or twice. You could go to the end of
the world. But the world isn't coming to an end.
Go to the end of
but the world isn't coming.
Got to lose your love to find it.
You got to lose your love to find it.
To find it, you got to lose it. To find it.
Good evening, Starseed. This is the Micah here on the Music of Mind Control with you every Tuesday evening, almost 7 p.m. Eastern. Your ticket to ride. New religious movements, cults, individuals of a mystical or inspired nature, and the sounds that come out of them. We just heard the beatific sounds of the Sufi choir from 1977. Beautiful little record called Stone in the Sky. Sufi choir was musical efforts of the early incarnation of the Sufi Ruhaniyat. One of the very first, maybe not one of the very first, but definitely one of the first Sufist, Western Sufist organizations with something of a cultural impact, started by a elderly Jewish gentleman by the name of Sufi Sam, or at least that's what he called himself, who hung around China Beach in the 60s, getting the hippie kids, turning them on to Islamic mysticism and Christian Gnosticism, started the Sufi Ruhaniyat, as well as the Holy Order of the Mans, which was a Christian Gnostic sect. And the Sufi choir came out of that, put out a good 7 or 8 records throughout the 1970s, all with this enhanced choral sound expressing the individual and or the individual path to Allah, as it were. Okay, on a similar note, I want to play music by Jen Verde. Jen Verde is also a group from Italy that was generated from a new religious movement called Focolare, which was a post-war effort to, I guess, bring all the Christian sects together under one umbrella, but mostly Catholicism. Definitely a utopian, idealist ambition. Started up various communities all around the world based on principles of unity, Christian unity, selflessness, and putting out universal love into the world, or whatever it is that they think they're doing. And I just found out this week that there is still a Focolare community house in Harlem. It's so interesting. There's, you know, within the homogeneous environs of the tri-state area, you still find these little pockets of alternative spiritual communities. scattered about, or at least hidden under various urban boulders. Very interesting. Anyway, Gen Verde came out of Focolare as well as Gen Rosso. Gen Verde was the girls' groups. Gen Rosso was the boys' group. And I think they modeled themselves after Up With People, strangely enough. It had a rotating cast of youth who would go out and try to get young people turned on to Jesus in sort of a modern unified type of setting. But they're definitely much better than Up With People. Not quite as corny. Also, as the years progressed, their sound evolved and got more and more complex. I want to play a very interesting record that they put out in 1982 called El Mondo Una Casa. There's definitely, how should I put it? There is that sound that made Up With People kind of corny, but they're definitely open or they're sort of delving into some proggish territory that Up With People never did. So anyway, let's have a listen to this very interesting record from 82, Italian post-hippie Christians, Gen Verde from the organization known as Focolare. I'll be right back.
Ah! Cominciare.
Amatevi l'un l'altro come io ho amato voi. Date e vi sarà dato. Perdonate e sarete perdonati. Non temete, io sono con voi. Casa. Se la casa costruiamo vivendo le sue parole, poggerà sulla roccia dell'amore. E verrà la tempesta, soffieranno i venti, ma no, no, non crollerà.
Solo così, la grande casa, solo così, la grande casa, solo così.
pretty awesome. Top shelf vocal prog, Christian prog, from Jen Verde. Generated from the progressive Christian movement known as Focolare. We heard La Grande Casa, La Parola, and L'Amore Viva from 1982 release Il Mundo Una Casa. The world is a house. At least it used to be. I don't know what it is now. Maybe now it's like a Dracula's castle. Okay, unfortunately, what we're about to hear is not quite as awesome as Jen Verde. In fact, it's quite bad. The music of Elena Denon. Where do I begin? Elena Denon is a contactee. She is a self-professed field archaeologist, best-selling author, international speaker, extraterrestrial contactee, and cult leader. She was rescued as a child by a positive group of ETs. She remains in contact with them to this day. Based on her physical encounters, experience, and ongoing interactions with ETs, Elena offers profound insight into the technologies, societal systems, and ethical values of ET civilizations, the true history of Earth, and the keys to human empowerment. Her world bestsellers, that's in quotes, bestsellers, A Gift from the Stars, We Will Never Let You Down, The Cedars, and Cold Ass. I think that's the planet that her ET friends are from. Cold Ass. Cold Ass. Cold Ass? I don't know. Through her books, webinars, and conferences around the world, Elena Denon dedicates her work to the emancipation of humanity. So apparently she is a dangerous guru. She banishes people she cannot manipulate, keeps vulnerable people close to her, makes them believe anything to get money from them. And on top of that, she makes terrible music. She's developed these song cycles, I guess you want to call them, based on her ET astral knowledge. And I don't know how you would describe this. Eurovision, that's what comes to mind when I listen to this crap. It sounds like Eurovision, like that operatic, histrionic sound that's just all over Eurovision. So one of her song cycles is called Tales. Oh, my eyesight. Tales of Nikir, the Anunnaki voyage to Earth. I think this is based on that whole ancient astronaut theory about planet Nibiru and the Anunnaki who came to ancient Sumeria. So I'm just going to hit it. I think the best thing to or the best advice I can give you right now is, you know, whenever there's a extreme weather event, they tell us to hunker down or to, what is it? Stay in place. You know what I what is it? Hammer down the hatches or whatever. This is bad. This is extremely bad. And I just chose the songs that I thought were somewhat listenable, but that doesn't mean they're not bad. So I'm just going to let it speak for itself. I'll be right back.
In the Garden of Eden, among stars so bright, amid emerald grass under cosmic light, the tree looms tall where life takes pause. Peacocks whisper hymns with their butterfly calls. The spaceship hums a celestial tune. Nibiru sails past the silvery moon. His fingers dance on his harp so rare. Each note a story woven into the
one. was crawls too near. Marduk struggles, curse to wear the weight of love betrayed and twisted.
So I was going to play a third track by Suma or Elena Danan, but I just couldn't stomach any more of that crap. Cheap, out-of-the-box Eurovision garbage. The sound of a Dunning-Kruger affected cult leader who reads a lot of Zechariah Sitchin and claims to talk to aliens. Elena Danan, recording as Suma from her Anunnaki-inspired song cycle, Tales of Nikir, with references to Ea and Marduk, the ancient Babylonian ET god, ancient astronaut gods or whatever. It's really unfortunate that UFO cults choose such a insipid, awful sound for their musical outreach. It just lacks imagination. I mean, come on, you're a UFO cult. Your music should be out there. Why are you sounding like Eurovision garbage? Okay, I need a High Priest Quatamani break. And the Quatamani family community. I think they're the only things that can get me out of this post Elena Danan funk, as it were. The Quatamani royal family. This is a cult out in Belize, living in nature. High Priest Quatamani is a devout naturalist. He is the premier raw and living foodie of his time. Foodist, he calls himself. Is that a real word? Foodist. Noted internationally for his exquisitely and soulfully delicious raw and living food cuisine, he is considered as a man of action by those who know him. His position is that one should not speak unless one is ready to do it 100%. The Quatamani royal family has manifested as a whole life entity wherein each member harmonizes in a single focus, purpose, and mission connected within the vibrations and sensations of divine consumption, divine union, and the forward multiplication of divinity. The founding family of the Sacred Spirit Movement is headed by High Priest Quatamani as the guiding and protecting presence and nurtured by the Quatamani Royal Sisterhood. So they have a very unusual musical expression. I guess it's conscious hip-hop, but it doesn't sound like most conscious hip-hop. They definitely have their own thing going. And I'm going to let them tell us where it's at. The Quatamani Royal Family with High Priest Quatamani.
Big truth.
High Priest, we're tired of this religious fraud, submitting to die, worshipping some sheep herd as God.
Yeah.
Honor that the elders, we that the youth, we beg you for bring with supreme truth.
Blessed be the nature of a love supreme, most supreme essence, life seen and unseen. We speak from deep within ancestral kin, being as simple and precise as we can, doing our best not to offend. Yet we must speak whole and true, regardless of how it may discomfort you or challenge your long-held view about the things you value, worship, and hold on to.
Regardless of who one may be, regardless of one's race, sex, or religious reality, that upholds one's self-defined personality. There is a great divide where the deified self hide in a personal story of glory,
where might makes right and conquest is the ultimate test of who's the best. The superior one, done in warlord style all the while, thugging and mugging to be that top dog in that plush office suite. Same as on the street, in the driver's seat, profiling that 38 police heat.
In the classroom or on the job for that raise that's coming soon. And then one grows up to be that he or she man with plenty of cash on hand.
Buy and sell and steal in people's life energy and their land. Smuggling contraband, big business in a capitalizing master plan. Yeah, he got your whole world in his hand while you try to convince others that you the man.
Making deals under the counter and under the table to be able to afford the blessings of that good Lord.
This story is old, foretold to reveal the hidden nature of a 666, a confusing mix of race, sex, and religious tricks, keeping the children of the sun conquered, divided, undecided,
belittling one another, ready to take the other one down and out, ain't got no interest in a turnabout.
Wheeling, dealing, feeling that life goes around once and this is it. To have and to hold, to conquer and control, life energy virtually free. Sold out for paper money, signed, sealed, and delivered by the conquering hands of he who masters in the sheep-herding mentality.
This is a reality, not a fallacy, and all the while the predator smiles and grins as if he is your best friend. A herder of sheep with the ability to keep you meek in the flock under a mental lock.
A token well spoken, well broken, soaking wet after breaking out into a cold sweat from the fright and fear that does not allow one to see clear or hear what the sacred ones has to say about what's going on today. No way to comprehend global warming, the depletion of the ozone, no way to comprehend deforestation and sex tourism going on right here at home. No way to comprehend that cattle ranching produce non-sustainable food, abiding, suffering, grueling, misery, pains, while causing Mother Nature to be abused.
Sickness, affliction, and disease. Brain drained, spirit not pleased, being disconnected from consuming of the fruits of the trees.
No way to comprehend that missionary schools was the primary tool used to perpetuate the Shepherd King's rule. And in the end, sexual violation, violence, war, and crime would accelerate again and again.
Please keep in mind that it's the sheep herder's mission to keep the flock deaf, dumb, and blind, unable to see the supreme truth of what has come to be. Ever since Sister Eve of the sheep herding tribe consumed of the good and evil tree, that opened her eyes to supreme truth and the lies, just as the serpent had said. But this got her cursed by the deity of her tribe instead, filling her with dread, forcing her to consume of the depleted and dead. After being led out of our sacred garden culture paradise, cursed and barred from her innate birthright to consume of the fruits of the trees of life.
This is the cattle and sheep herder mindset, perpetuated by Set, the deity of regret, implanted in one's head, calling one to work at the school and to bed.
When you look around, what you see is the living dead, many lost at any cost, souls sealed in pain.
A cold-blooded self-deified game, everybody in the mix, making it very difficult to fix, making it very difficult to see, sense, and feel the absolute need to detox, purge, and heal.
Let the madness cease, let the madness
gotta escape the nothingness of the oblivious state. Can't wait, gotta break free from the entrapments of the opposition energy.
Mind blown, stuck and stagnant in a pale zone, where all the chatter is don't care, don't matter, no big deal. Hurts too much, got to heal, gotta get out of this place. Let the madness cease, let the madness cease.
Let's peep beyond the master code and feel the grip of the stranglehold. Feel that cold, pale days of oblivion, honing your gaze on a phase of brain drain. Senses dull, lulled into being numb. Don't care, unaware as you come. Attention fixed on the personal treats and tricks of the self-asserting will. Chill. No one knows that you're giddy as a ditty pose is frozen, deep-seated insecurity and self-pity. So oblivious to energy. Still, it is your smiling face that others see from a similar state of numbing and oblivious curiosity. Hung up in an oblivious state of hot air, where whatever one say and do is what one declare is fair. So much to overcome, so dumb, so young, oblivious to the essence of life, unable to experience this earthly paradise. Zapped and entrapped in a concrete jungle with a cold and pale monkey on your back. Much worse than cracking, won't give you no slack. Zapped and trapped in a numbing-like state, a fate that only oblivion can create. All the while as a child deceived and taught to believe in the warlord deity, he twisted and shape-shifted monotheistically. Up there somewhere oblivious in thin air, watching over you while you do what you do. Waiting to judge over you after your suffering, grueling, misery, aches, and pains are through. And you did grin and bear, anxious to get up there as you anticipate your fate at the pearly gate. Planning to meet your maker, making advance payments to the undertaker. Where is Charlie Parker? Where is John Coltrane after that chalk white powder rode his main vein? Was he finally freed after he OD'd or in the mist? Was he simply seeking his heavenly bliss? Or was he simply suffering from an overdose of a death wish kiss? And why was he so glorified after he died? And oh, how his loved ones cried. Was it that his suffering pain was finally seen? Or was it that he died in vain, blowing that horn in expression of a dream never seen? Yeah, train blue, a love supreme. And the lady who sung the blues after being abused and misused, deep, dark, mahogany red, Was it the devil lie on her head that was frying her brain instead? Making sores, seeping through the pores, and causing her think tank to go so blank, so young, so dumb, so overcome. Was she trying to show how low one can go within that numb and oblivious state of conditioned self-hate, unable to reason one's fate? And how does this all relate to the oblivion of the children of the sun at this late date? So much loss, so much gone, trapped and tricked in a zone that produces a human-like homegrown clone. So much forgotten, so much unknown, so many stages and phases of oblivion that continue to go on and on and on. Mind blown, expressing what you feel, making you feel sued, rude, nude, and tattooed. Funky attitude, spoiled brat, like a rattlesnake, ready to attack. And you smile, wearing that tattoo or self-styled cross, onk, or crest. Deep-seated in this mess, debating in the name of the god or the devil you choose. Yet, heads or tails, you lose. Regardless of the pact or the contract, one must pay the dues to the almighty and all-omnipotent deity that one claims to know intimately. Almighty to what? All-omnipotent to what? Who cares? In the name of love and war, all things are fair. Especially when one is oblivious to the true nature of one's most supreme intimacy that existed far beyond the Master Khan, or the blood spill of Attila the Hun, or the Black Sea game that came spreading blood spill. Your terror and pain on the edge of night, accelerating the spread of white blight. And when the supreme truth is brought to you whole, you become oblivious and declare information overload, becoming a primary player to uphold the oblivion of the death culture stranglehold.
Are you picking up what he's laying down? High Priest Quatamani, teaching us the truth with his conscious hip-hop and amazing rhyme schemes. Let the Madness Cease, preceded by Cry of the Youth for Supreme Truth. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. I'm going to round things out with some music by Astara Teal Summers, who is another self-professed facilitator of wellness and something called conscious mastery. And I think that's all you need to know.
I know I'm coming. asked me to stay, 'cause I've got much to do. One day, baby, I know it will include you. Feeling like the butterfly, fresh from cocoon. Smile and sigh, because I know I'm coming out of nowhere. I'm a peaceful warrior. I'm standing tall, I'm not afraid to feel it all. Oh yeah, I'm a peaceful warrior. Through and through, and I'm coming out of nowhere to share my love with you, every one of you. You can love me,
you can love me,
you can love me, love me, love me.
Stars. Let me hear the yodels, conicals, and kagiras. In other words, bleed my ears. In other words, caterjack me, jack. Oh, overtones and whistles, holler shanties and galas. Harmonies from tenores and hocketing barcas. In other words, auctioneers. In other words, Shuby Taylor. Fry me vocal fry, play me some Dada from Yacht Blanc. Field recordings, interviews, and growls from Dave Van Ronk. In other words, purple haze. In other words, Ema Sumac. Jack, Wally Cox is eefing, and that Okinawan bounce. Track and album titles that you just cannot pronounce. In other words, in other words, vocal fry.
Well, good evening, listeners to Vocal Fry. We have a special treat today. Jaap Blanc, the Dutch sound poet and vocal artist, is here at WFMU and has stopped by to share his music, his sounds, his art with us while touring in the United States for a bit. We'll talk some more about his current activities and recordings that he has and the different groups that he has been performing with in a bit. But I wanted to start off by introducing Jaap and giving him a chance to perform a bit for you.
Thank you, Dan. A pleasure to be back here at WFMU 30 years after my first time here. It was 1996. So I'll just start off with a little improvisation and do some vocal fry as a tribute to your show.
Yeah.
That's what we mean when we say vocal fry right there. Wow. Yep, you're improvising.
Yeah, my work actually. Well, there were three main inputs to my work: the Dada sound poetry that I started my vocal thing with, and free improv, which I was already doing on saxophone, but discovered that I could do it much better with voice. And then composition, then first writing mostly for instruments in like experimental jazz field, and then also electronic music.
So a little bit of like inspiration from scat, like jazz nonsense
really.
Vocals?
No, okay. Not really. No, I wasn't. There are many other sounds, not only vocal sounds that inspired me, but also like machine sounds, animal sounds, or sounds from strange cultures, and so, yeah.
Yeah. And the spark of this was discovering Dada sound poetry?
Yeah, this was when I had quit my mathematics studies in the late 70s and was taking workshops in the creative field, and one was about reciting poetry, where they had offering traditional poetry, but also more experimental stuff, and the six sound poems by Hugo Ball. And one of those I memorized and performed at the presentation of that workshop, and this was a big ear opener for me. Yeah. Finding a field, a sort of a no man's land between music on the one hand and poetry, literature on the other hand, where I felt instinctively there was a lot of freedom and no rules, and so still a lot to discover.
Yeah. And did you feel like it was an area that was that you were the only person in, or did you feel like you were part of connected to others? I feel like your art developed a lot in isolation, but I'm not sure if you've
seen. Yeah, sure. I knew there were have been people who wrote that stuff, but not perform it. And it was only later on that I found some people doing sound poetry. One of the first things I experienced was the Four Horsemen from Canada. Mm. I heard them in Amsterdam, like in the mid '80s, and David.